Hello and welcome, friends, to another edition of Sustainability Now with me, Justin Mogg, right here on your community radio station. We're Forward Radio, WFMP LP Louisville. We broadcast here from atop the historic Habern Building at 106.5 FM. We also live stream. You can catch our live signal wherever you are in the world at forwardradio.org and listen live. You can also find our archives of all of our local programs there, podcast versions. Share them out with your friends. Listen again. This is your station. We want you involved, not just as a listener, but as a volunteer and a supporter of the station. That's how we make this radio magic happen every day, 24/7. So if you want to volunteer, get behind the microphones or behind the scenes, you can do so at forwardradio.org. Click on participate or click on donate. We're coming up on our 7th anniversary of broadcasting on this station. April 9th will mark the 7th anniversary. We're going to have a big party and a pledge drive. We'll tell you more about it later. But now's a great time to support the station and to get involved. Well, what we do here on Sustainability Now each week is sit down with another fine friend from around the community who's doing great work in sustainability, and I'm so glad to have returning to the program after several years, Katie Harvey, CSA Marketing and Outreach Program Manager for the Organic Association of Kentucky. Welcome back, Katie. So good to have you here.
It's great to be here, Justin.
You know, I told you before we turned the mics on that I really feel like I need this conversation today because, A, you're such a positive person, but also the subject we're going to be talking today about is so positive. There's just so much darkness in our world right now. we need a breath of fresh air. We hope to bring it to you here today on the station. So what we're going to be talking about is like we're emerging from this. I love winter, so I hate using these terms, but this long, dark winter, right? of not a lot of fresh foods available to us. Amanda and I consider this season like the empty the freezer and the empty the canned goods season when we're finally getting down to the dregs of what we saved from last year or years before. And now we're opening up to a new spring, a rebirth, a time of fresh foods. And that's what we're going to talk about today. An exciting topic. Right?
I am so excited to talk
more.
Are you
ready for
it? yeah, absolutely. I feel like the warm weather we've been having this week has gotten me really excited for spring, and spring makes me think more about local food. So today, really excited to talk with you about eating more seasonally or eating in season and just get other folks excited about this time of year.
Yeah. And one thing that's happening with climate change, it's a positive, I think, is that we can kind of extend our growing season, which we've always done with various tools like hoop houses and greenhouses and row covers and stuff like that. But it's becoming even more possible to grow food almost year round in Kentucky. I don't know if you did any of that or you know folks who were growing food over the winter and you still got to sample some of that freshness.
You're totally right. So it's not, there's still things available all year round. A lot of our Kentucky farmers are using season extension and are using high tunnels and row covers and other really great techniques. And so you can find local products all year.
Yeah.
Which is lovely. But I think just like this time of year is even more special because there's a little bit of that, like you said, rebirth of, you know, more foods becoming available. So there's still some, but there's definitely a little bit more of an abundance as we kind of enter the spring.
Yeah.
So yeah, excited to talk with you all today. We'll talk about lots of different ways to find more local foods and source more from Kentucky farmers.
Yeah.
And yeah, just happy to dig in a little bit. You know, we talk about eating seasonally and, you know, what does that even really mean, right?
Right. I just walk into the grocery store. It's all supposed to be right there. Everything I want, right? Asparagus in February, right?
Well, and it's hard to feel connected to your food system that way. When you're going into the grocery store and everything's available all the time, it's hard to really know when it's at its freshest, right? Yeah. And so when you are growing things in your own garden or going to the farmer's market or sourcing from farmers in a different way, you're going to have a better sense of, you know, when those peak times are. And that's a really great way to highlight when those items are most available. They're going to be more nutritious for you and they're going to be harvested at kind of peak ripeness. So the best place to start with this is when we're talking about eating seasonally, we're just talking about eating items that are and kind of their closest to harvest date and closest to being locally available and just all of the benefits.
Well, and I think that's so important too, because it makes it more special when it's seasonal, right? If it's something, if it's a treat that I only get for a few months of the year, or maybe even just a few weeks of the year, then it's something I can look forward to the rest of the year. And it's not like if you know how to eat locally, it's not like you're suffering the rest of the year. There's always stuff to eat in Kentucky, as I've tried to make the point. We live in a place of such incredible abundance, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, we truly do get all four seasons, yeah. Which makes a difference, you know. And I think we definitely, you eat a more varied diet when yeah. when you're eating seasonally, you're going to be eating lots of different things. You're not eating the same things all the time. So I think some of the reasons and motivations to maybe try this out in a small way could be just to switch things up if you're kind of in a little bit of a rut in the kitchen and you want to try some new recipes. When you have new items, you're always more motivated and prompted to kind of innovate in the kitchen and try different things out. And I'm always trying to encourage myself to get out of my own comfort zone, you know, of like kind of what I know how to cook, just to try something new. And you can always get lots of ideas from, you know, different recipes you can find online, but also farmers will absolutely tell you some great suggestions on how to cook something. And I think the other great thing to mention about sourcing in season, sourcing locally, and because we're on sustainability now, is really just talking about the smaller footprint that your food has,
yes,
right? So when you're sourcing, when you're sourcing it closer to home, you're really going to be able to reduce a lot of the environmental impact. So it's going to be a more sustainable. On average, we know that the food in the grocery store is traveling around 1,500 miles in general. And, you know, you're sourcing locally, you're sourcing within, you know, 1 to 2 hours. That's in general the average maybe travel time. A farmer is going to maybe go to a market. Mm-hmm. And that's going to drastically reduce those food miles.
Yes.
But also just when the farmer is able to grow things in season when it's at its optimal time, it's going to take less resources, right?
That's how we do it organically, right?
It's going to take less resources to make it happen. So even if it might be possible to kind of push the seasons of different items, it'll take less resources and less energy to grow it in its ideal time frame. So those are some things just from that sustainability perspective. And Justin, I mean, I'm sure you talk about this all the time on the show, but, right? Like, you know, like it's always worth repeating,
well,
you know?
The way I like to think about it is the importance of relocalizing our economy is that we have to move away from this sort of extractive model of existence, which is very hidden from consumers, so they don't even realize what's going on. Some of that is almost intentional, right? But it's very hard to know where our food comes from when we just eat conventionally or go to the grocery store, right? But it's usually coming from far away, which of course, as you mentioned, means like a lot of carbon emissions to haul that food to you. But also the further the farm away is, the less you're going to know about what's going on there in terms of how the land and the workers are managed. And there's probably a lot of extraction of resources and wealth and human dignity happening in that process, right? So when we can relocalize and reinvest too in our community, it makes Kentucky and Southern Indiana a better place, right? And that's what we want. We want to invest in our future right here and survive off of the resources, the abundance that's already here, right? And that's the key to sustainability. It's very difficult to think that way though, because we're not trained to think that way, but also, like as I said, a lot of the information is hidden from us in the marketplace. And so there's such a difference when I can shop locally, when I can know the farmer, when I can grow it myself or forage it myself, right? That is so key to reconnecting with what is actually here to sustain us.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think what you touched on that I just want to emphasize is just the transparency piece. When you're eating in season and sourcing locally, you have a higher transparency of how your food's grown, who's growing it, right? Because you're most likely buying directly from them or maybe a local retailer that's, you know, having resold it. And the economic impact is really important, right? So when you create more demand for local products, you help increase the supply and build a more resilient food chain. And we really noticed that during COVID. I mean, it was to me the biggest tipping point of like knowing where your food comes from and understanding the supply chains. And when we have really long supply chains, we can realize how vulnerable those are. And so when we really make our more, our regional supply chains more robust and stronger, that's better for everybody.
So yeah, there's the whole environmental side of things, a whole sort of economic question. But then there's lots of other benefits to eating locally and seasonally, and we should definitely highlight those today. First of all, it's better for you, but it's better for building community too, right? It's hard to eat in isolation all alone. It's not healthy to do that. And what I mean is like not just eating it alone at your desk or something, but well, that's bad too. But like sourcing it alone and like not knowing any of the people behind your food, like that is no good way to live. Like we can live in much richer, mutually supportive community when we actually know the growers, right? And yeah. Oak, I mean, we should point this out, that the Organic Association of Kentucky, a lot of the work that you all do is with the producers, right? And
yeah.
And so one of the things we're doing today is trying to connect consumers and producers, right?
Absolutely. And we understand, you know, less than 2% of Americans are farmers, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a big population. And right. So it's very easy to not know someone directly that's a farmer. And so one of the resources Oak has created is our Find a Farm directory to help connect more community members to local organic farms in their area so they can find more products. They can be aware of more Kentucky farmers. A strong benefit in Kentucky is we have a lot of small family farms. We
yes.
have over 70,000 farms.
Is that right?
In Kentucky.
Wow.
So we have a smaller acreage than the national acreage. It's around 150 acres per farm in Kentucky, where the national average is a little over 400 acres.
Oh my gosh, 400
it's,
acres.
You know, we do have that benefit of having smaller family farms and having more of them, but we're here to kind of help connect you to those farms. And we are a nonprofit that was founded by organic farmers to help grow organic regenerative farming in Kentucky. And we definitely want to be a resource for the community to kind of feel more connected and not eat and, and our source in isolation.
Yeah. I'm really glad you pointed that out. And I'm not sure how many like Louisville residents, conventional eaters, maybe people involved in agriculture might recognize how special Kentucky is in terms of the number of small farms. I'm not sure that a lot of local eaters here really recognize that. That's another great reason why, especially here, you know, if you live in the middle of Iowa, where all the farms are just, you know, 400 acres of corn on one side of the road, 400 acres of soybeans on the other, and you said, support your local farmer. Well, I don't even know what that means because I can't just eat corn and soybeans, right? But here in Kentucky, we have a very different landscape, agricultural landscape, and that is a legacy of many different things. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I want to shout out is that it means we have to transition to a different model, because in part it's a legacy to the tobacco industry, when you used to be able to make enough money just growing tobacco to support a small family farm. And now that that industry has gone away, I think for the better for our health, right? We need to look to new economic models, and organic and, you know, small vegetable, different kinds of crops are an important part of that. And Oak has been there to help with that transition, right?
Absolutely. So I'm glad that you said that. And we are here. Oak is a nonprofit that helps with technical assistance to farmers. So if you are a farmer out there or an aspiring farmer, please get connected with us. We've got lots of farmer resources.
Including urban agriculture, I should highlight. It doesn't have to be 150 acre
farm.
Oh,
yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a really good point. So all different types of agriculture, right?
Yeah.
We really want to increase the production of local foods. And that takes a really multi-pronged kind of approach. And right now in Kentucky, we have a little over 200 certified organic farms,
oh, okay.
right? So we are always working to kind of increase that number of certified organic farms in the state and help, like we talked about, when you have that higher demand for maybe local and organic products, you're going to kind of generate more of that supply coming into the marketplace. So there's really some true power in voting with your food dollars. And I'm sure you've talked about that before, but you know.
It is election season, so let's talk about voting with your food dollars.
Yeah.
That's such an important concept to think about. Like, I don't think we're taught as consumers to think about it that way, that we're actually voting for the kind of future we want. We just thought, you know, go spend your money on whatever you want. Well, think about the impact of those dollars could have if we kept them locally, if we invested them in a farmer we knew, even if it costs slightly more than the conventional food would. There's so much more value we get out of it. You mentioned briefly about the, you know, the closer you eat to harvest, the more nutritious the food is. Touch a little bit more on that and how that works. How does conventional food compare to a local organic product?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a really good point. It's always helpful to remind even myself, and just in terms of, you know, when you're trying to get, we'll talk about produce as an easy example, you know, you're trying to get tomatoes, you know, and if you're shipping them from a long distance, right, you don't want to harvest them when they're at their peak ripeness, because they're not going to make it in time to be available, right? And so when you're purchasing things in season from a shorter distance away, the farmer is able to keep that on the vine longer, and it's going to take up typically more nutrients. And so when you're able to harvest it closer to its peak ripeness and not pull it off early or ahead of season, then it's just going to have more time to take up nutrients, right? Because we're feeding the soil and not the crop, right?
Yeah.
So we want to start with the soil. The plant's going to uptake nutrients from the soil. And the longer that item can stay on the plant, the more nutrients it's going to be able to uptake, right? And so if we can take it off, if we can harvest it with less time, that's going to be a big deal and just be more nutritious. And it's going to taste better, right? Tomatoes always, I feel like that's the best example of, you know, how much better they taste. And the example I had for you all today, just to kind of get you excited about, like, you know, eating seasonally in the spring is, I know one of the favorites is strawberries, right? And we all know when strawberries are in season and you can purchase them closer to home, they always taste so much better because those aren't harvested weeks after they're, you know, pre-ripe, but they're harvested just a couple days before they're fully ripe.
Oh yeah, man. You pick strawberry farms. That's a treat.
Yeah.
I'm speaking today with Katie Harvey, CSA Marketing and Outreach Program Manager for the Organic Association of Kentucky. You can learn more and access some of the resources that OAK has available for both producers and consumers at oak-ky.org. There's also some social media resources we're going to share with you in a minute and put in the program notes to this program that you can find at forwardradio.org. Anything else you want to share about the benefits of eating local before we move on to, like, well, how would I even do it, Katie? Like, this is great and everything, but how do I do it? You mentioned one thing is, like, it's just more fun.
I think that's kind of the main thing I want to emphasize is that I just get excited. You know, if everyone, if that eager and anticipation builds excitement and just allows you to try new things and innovate. So I definitely want to touch on a few examples and some things that you can get excited about. Yeah. And before we have lots of suggestions for sourcing, but I want to just kind of dive in a little bit about how to get started. Yeah. Right. And so you mentioned it, right? The first step is doing your homework, right? Doing your research, you know, knowing what's in season when. And so OAK does have a resource for this. We'll drop it in the show notes.
Oh, nice.
And eating with the seasons, kind of like postcards, so you can kind of know season by season what's going to be available when. And, you know, always happy to kind of reach out to us on social media. You can always ask other questions. But, you know, just doing your homework first, finding out what's in season. And maybe just discovering that by, you know, if you have a farmer's market close by and they are kind of starting up in April, you know, the first trip to the farmer's market, you'll kind of easily see what's in season and kind of being open to trying new things. And then just finding out where to source it, right? So that's what we'll kind of spend a lot of time talking about today. Always good to know how to prepare it. We talked about you can always ask a Kentucky farmer for some suggestions on that. And then I'm hoping to pick your brain about this, Justin.
Oh, yeah.
If we have time, we can always talk about, since you do eat in season and it's not available all the time, what are some ways you can preserve it, right?
Oh, yes. So never too early to start thinking about next winter.
And then just kind of making it work for you. So we'll touch on all of these.
Good.
But, you know, doing your research, you know, figuring out your local sourcing option, knowing how to prepare it, how to preserve it, those are some kind of key things. And excited to talk about different sourcing models. So different ways you can eat seasonally this spring.
So we just had a great conversation recently on the show with George Barnett, all about foraging. He's got this new book about foraging Kentucky, and we went in deep into, like, the salad hikes you can take this time of year and all that. But is foraging something that you've played with, Katie, and that, you know, I know it's mostly about supporting our farmers, but hey, we can also eat the abundance that nature provides too, right?
I love that so much, and I think I'm barely scratching the surface with foraging, but I think it'll be encouraging for your listeners to know that you can start anywhere.
That's right.
Some things that I'm excited about, and we definitely want to touch on all different types of ways to eat seasonally. So it's not just about sourcing from Kentucky farmers, but definitely, foraging if you've never done it before. I feel like, Justin, you're kind of an expert.
No, I'm a learner. I'm an adventurous eater.
But some of the things that you can kind of do some research on this time of year, I'm curious to hear more about the salad garden. And so definitely check out that episode. But things that I get excited about are mushrooms in the spring.
Oh, totally.
And so people are pretty usually familiar with, like, the morels. And so that's something you can kind of always do some research on to find out, you know, maybe some places that you can check out for spring mushrooms, right? So it's an ideal thing to be foraging for. I'm always, some of the farmers will have these at the farmer's market because they've either kind of wild harvested them as ramps or wild leeks. So sometimes those are also available and you can look up some ways to sustainably harvest those. But those are two things that come to mind. But just was wondering if there was, like, maybe a few key things that George touched on that were worth mentioning.
Well, George mentioned all kinds of things, some of which I've never even heard of before. So I'm really, he's going to get me a copy of his book.
Okay.
I'm really eager to see it and learn more and throw it in my backpack next time I'm on a hike. But just something that came to mind, because they're starting to pop out of the ground right now, are daylilies. You can eat the whole plant, root. The leaves are great salad right now, right? The buds are delicious, especially before they bloom, but even after they bloom, like when they're making a nice little pointy, oh, it's great for stir fries, before the flower opens. And so the daylilies are just something that, like, in a lot of people's yards, you know, if you're not spraying your yard, you know, that's a great little resource to eat and spread them around. Like, they're really happy anywhere in Kentucky. So daylilies are a great one. We're going to be doing our annual service berry foraging workshop at the University of Louisville. Our Garden Commons always hosts one of those workshops that's open to the public. And they are also known as June berries because they're ripe around June 1st. But with climate change especially, they're getting ripe earlier and earlier. So we usually target late May, and it'll be coming up on May 28th, actually. So go to louisville.edu/sustainability, learn more about that. But yeah, mostly I'm thinking about starting seeds for my garden at this time of year, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the other, you know, way when you're thinking about eating in season, the easiest thing to do is, you know, if you have a place in your backyard, or you have maybe some containers that you want to get started with, or maybe a community garden close by, it's never too early to start thinking about, you know, planting something. I think if you are, you know, new to gardening and thinking about it, you always start small. It's always a great thing but it really makes a big difference. I think when you get to grow something on your own, you have this deeper appreciation for the folks that do this full time and do this professionally. But there's a lot of mental health benefits with gardening as well, and just getting outside. So things that I would recommend giving a try, my number one thing to start, maybe for even doing like a school garden, or radishes.
Yes, they're so quick.
So
amazing.
So you could always start with some spring radishes. Those usually from like planting to harvest, 3 weeks.
I know.
So lovely. And so just kind of some short root vegetables, radishes, turnips, things like that. But I also really love salad greens.
Yeah.
And so just all types of different lettuces, baby kale, other things. Those are fairly easy to grow and just are
Katie,
delicious.
Katie, I haven't had lunch yet. I got to admit, I'm getting really hungry.
Yeah. But so my two maybe suggestions for the spring, just to kind of get your feet wet, would be maybe considering growing a little bit of your own salad greens, considering growing maybe some spring root vegetables, and you can also be starting some seeds for a summer garden, right? So I know it's a good time of year to kind of maybe start some of those things, get them ready. And then we have some other nonprofits and community organizations that are also selling seeds and starts, right?
Yeah,
like Louisville Grows
has a great seeds and starts sale. Yes, absolutely. So if you don't, if you're like, I don't know, I don't feel the confident enough to start my own seeds, I encourage you to try it, because it's actually really magical to experience, like taking this, you talk about a radish seed, teeny weeny, right? And turning it into something big and edible and delicious. It's really, it is a magical thing to participate in. But if you just want to like get a plant that somebody else has started and you know it's good quality, and transplant it into maybe a pot on your deck or into a garden plot, if you don't have your, often people in Louisville will say, well, I don't have a place I can do that. Either I don't have a yard, or my yard is too shady, or my dog, or whatever, right? There's community gardens all over town that you can participate in. You can grow stuff in community like we do at the University of Louisville. It's collective production, right? You don't have to be the one person to own and know everything and control your one plot, right? You can use the common wealth and knowledge of everybody to grow together, learn together. That's a great way to get started. I think, again, like I said, eating on your own is not great. Growing on your own is kind of a little iffy too if you've never done it before, right?
Yeah. So I definitely encourage you to check out community gardens. There's also just a lot of resources that other community organizations put out to help share the knowledge and share some ways to start gardening.
Yeah.
So gardening and foraging, those are the two things we've talked about so far that are great ways to be thinking about seasonal eating. But you know, Justin, I am the CSA program manager.
We've already used this acronym 5 times on the show, and we haven't even spelled it out. So please tell us, what is a CSA?
Yeah. So if you're maybe wanting someone else to do the heavy lifting for you, I always like to talk about CSA. Yeah. CSA is a local food subscription that you sign up for in advance with a farm. And you kind of pre-sign up for this, and you commit to a certain number of weeks, and you get a box of produce. You get maybe a box or bag of meat. You get eggs or flowers. You can get it for a wide variety of things. And so what's great about CSA is it's just making that sourcing in season so much more convenient, right? They're already doing that for you. So when we we think about produce, they're putting together kind of a farmer's choice box of everything that's going to be seasonally available for you, ready to go. And there's a lot of different options for CSAs. So in early March, that very first week of March, we had Kentucky Proud CSA Week. And so we got to promote over 75 farms, which is really, really exciting. So
how many CSAs are there in Kentucky?
This model is really growing and expanding. And so really encourage everyone to check it out. We love promoting the farmer's market as well, and we'll definitely be talking about that too. But if there's maybe not a farmer's market in your area or you're not available on the day of that week, CSA is just one more option and one more tool that you can use to kind of connect with a farm. And the big difference is it's for the whole season, right? You're making a commitment. So typically you're signing up for maybe 20 weeks at a time. So that's 4 to 5 months that you're kind of committing to getting that farmer's product. And then you get to choose where to pick it up. So you can pick it up maybe at a location close to your work, maybe close to where you live. You can choose the day of the week. So there's lots of options, and this model has definitely become a lot more flexible for people.
Yeah.
Just to make it easier to plug into.
Right. And even in some cases, flexible for payment. We know some people can't afford that big upfront investment for the whole season. Like imagine buying all your groceries in 1 week for the whole, you know, season. Like that might be a little financially difficult for some people. So there's groups like New Roots that have started a more pay by the week kind of model, and yet collectively we're ordering as a whole all at once, right? And supporting these local organic farms through that collective action. But I want to make a shout out too, because even people like me who are really into growing our own food and foraging our own food, like Amanda and I have so much food in our house that the idea of subscribing to a CSA, well, I don't know, that would be what would we do with all that food? So I just did a new thing for our anniversary I had never thought of before. Shout out to the Phoenix Hill Flower Farm. I got her a flower CSA subscription. How cool is that? So think about all the different like types of models out there, right? It doesn't just have to be produce.
Absolutely. And I think there's a couple things you touched on that are really good to note. And so Justin is the MVP of like, you know, foraging and gardening. And so we absolutely recognize we can talk a little bit about if CSA might be right for you what would be a good fit and what would make it not a good fit. And if you're growing so much of your own food, there's lots of other CSA share types out there.
Yeah.
So if you are wanting to consume more sustainable meat, I would encourage you to check out a meat CSA. If you already have a lot of your own fresh veggies, Justin just said he had signed up for a flower share, which is so beautiful.
So cool,
and just like, what's more fun and lovely than a flower CSA?
And it's just blocks from our house. Come to our porch and pick up this bouquet. Okay. That sounds great.
Yeah. And I have even heard, you know, bread CSA, just if you're and typically that term is just used, maybe you're signing up for an advance, you're going to get 6 weeks of fresh bread, right? And so they're just, so lots of different types out there. And then if you're just growing maybe a small portion of your food, but you still would maybe like a little extra, some farms do allow you to customize. So if you have, you know, maybe a lot of tomatoes planted and you don't need to need fresh tomatoes because you've got that covered, it's still possible to participate in CSA and customize based on the farm. So we'd encourage you to check out customization options, because that allows you to go online a couple days before your share gets dropped off and see what's available from the farmer and swap products out, swap different things in. And that gives you some choice if, you know, you're growing some things on your own and you don't need any more of that, or maybe you have some food allergies or anything like that, makes it a lot easier. And then some farms are offering more flexible payment plans. Like Justin mentioned, New Roots is sliding scale. So that's really nice. And they accept SNAP. Other farms offer some flexibility with the payment structure. And so it's not all a pay upfront, but the big part of that and the reason it started that as the core part of CSA is just that upfront payment was really vital in getting the farmer to helping them afford seeds and labor and capital earlier in the season before they had a lot coming in on the farm. And so that has kind of typically that community supported in the CSA acronym stands for really supporting that farmer earlier, committing to that farm and allowing kind of sharing in the risk and the reward of the season. Yeah. And that main benefit is you're getting really great convenient access to fresh foods and you're getting to deepen your relationship with like one farm for the whole season, right? You're going to build that relationship. They're really good at sending newsletters and sharing updates and having opportunities to like, come visit the farm. So
That community part of it for sure.
Yeah, we love to hear it. We love to do it. So please check out CSA if you're new to this, if you've never heard about it. Check out CSA in Kentucky Facebook group. We'll have a link in the show notes for that Facebook group. We've got lots of resources there from CSA Week. And we also, on the Oak Directory, have a little checkbox for CSA. And you can find CSAs across Kentucky using our Oak Find a Farm Directory. So definitely check out both of those things.
That's at oak-ky.com. sustainabilitynow.org. I'm talking today with Katie Harvey here on Sustainability Now. We're talking about how to incorporate more seasonal foods into your diet this year, 2024, the year for seasonal eating. And Katie is CSA Marketing and Outreach Program Manager at the Organic Association of Kentucky Oak. Anything else you want to say about CSAs before we move on to farmers markets, which is such another important topic? Well, yeah, let's dive into that. Farmers markets are so cool because you get to see, every time you show up, you automatically know what is in season, right? There's no question about it. And it's so fresh and so colorful and so fun. Usually farmers markets also have things like, oh, I don't know, food trucks or musicians or other things going on. Sometimes there's community organizations there that you can meet. And it's all about building that community and shopping in a different way with a kind of different mindset, right?
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite part about the farmers market is the connections you get to have, yeah. Right? It's one of the best ways to have conversations about food, get to talk with the producers. They're excited to be there to kind of share more about what they know with you, talk a little bit more about how it's grown. So I think that transparency piece is really easy because you get to talk with the producers. If you have questions about how it's grown, they usually do a really good job of also just communicating that with some of their marketing materials at the booth. But the farmers markets are so lovely. And in Louisville, a lot of those markets get started, you know, like March, April, May.
Yeah.
And so be looking for those announcements. If you have a market, check what date they're opening this year, right? Yeah. And so be on the lookout for that. So if you're not sure where a farmer's market is in your area, I would encourage you to check out Edible Magazine. It's still available to research. I know the publication is in transition right now, but if you Google, you know, Edible Magazine Farmers Market, they had a really beautiful map they put out a couple years ago. And I think obviously maybe some details are not as up to date, but it still gives you a really good sense of all the different markets across Louisville, what was available. And feel free to reach out to other food nonprofits. They're always happy to share. Yeah. But farmers markets are great ways to connect with producers. And there's also, like you said, like, you know, lots of resources. There's usually community orgs tabling there as well, besides just the farmers. And I think what I love about it is if you go to Kentucky Double Dollars, you can see the farmers markets that accept that you can kind of double up your purchases. If you're using SNAP, you can double up those purchases for local food. So that's a really cool, farmers markets can run some really neat incentive programs to make your food dollar stretch even further.
Yeah.
So we'd encourage folks to always, you know, check out that one, Kentucky Double Dollars, for doubling SNAP purchases on local products, specifically for fresh fruits and vegetables. And also the senior farmers market nutrition vouchers, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if you're, and I'm trying to remember in Louisville, Justin, do you know who distributes those?
Well, I know where you can redeem them.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know where you can get your SNAP Double Dollars program going.
Yeah.
And one of those markets is the Gray Street Farmers Market, just a few blocks from us here at Forward Radio. And it's just been announced when that market's going to start. It'll kick off a little later, June 6th. So you'll have everything by June 6th. Right? A lot of the stuff will be ready. You can pretty much eat the full banquet. And it'll be, again, 10:30 to 1:30 in front of the School of Public Health on Gray Street, just a block north of Broadway. And that starts June 6th. Another local farmers market that's going to be new this year is an Old Louisville Farmers Market. And that's going to start on May 11th. It's going to be a Saturday market. I think they're going to start every other week. And I believe it's going to be hosted at the Filson Historical Society in Old Louisville. So look for that May 11th. Yeah, I'm getting excited. There's just going to be so many great things and farmers to meet. I mean, it's really a privilege to be able to speak to some of these folks who don't live necessarily where you do. Like, they come in from the countryside and they've got different perspectives and they're all growing different kinds of things. One of the great things about the Gray Street Farmers Market is it's now being co-run with Common Earth Gardens, and so you're getting access to a lot of refugee farmers who grow all kinds of cool things that, you know, they're familiar from their homelands, right? They're bringing them to us here in Louisville. It's another great way to eat more adventurously.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Always good to give certain markets a shout out, and I think Louisville is doing a really good job by having a pretty good spread of farmers markets and more are always popping up, right? Because we do want to identify where there's not enough access. So markets are always kind of emerging. So excited to hear about the Old Louisville Market.
Yeah.
And one I definitely want to plug just because it is year-round is the Bardstown Road Farmers Market.
Right.
So there are markets that are year-round. So encourage anyone to check that one out. It is from 10 to noon every Saturday year-round. And then they'll switch to their summer hours. I believe it's in April where it's 8 to noon. But that one's always happening. The Douglas Loop Farmers Market, it's a popular regular market, that one's going to be opening back up. It's typically in April, but like I said, please check because sometimes those dates can fluctuate, but that's a market that opens generally a little earlier. And so those are two just to kind of have on the radar, but there's lots of options available. And I would just say, you know, I think eating seasonally is all about starting small, right? So like maybe committing to go to the farmer's market and maybe just like, okay, I'm going to learn where the closest market to me is and I'm going to put it on my calendar of when I'm going to go. So, and maybe bringing someone with you, you know, so that might be like, you know, spread the seasonal food
love.
Because
your friend will be like, hey, have you ever tried this thing? And you're like, no, I never even noticed that thing before, right? So here's a great point. You say start small. When I tell people I never drive a car, I always ride my bike everywhere. You know what the biggest question I get is? How do you get your groceries? Because people don't shop small. They like, I don't know what they're doing. They're going and loading up an SUV full of food, right? Like I shop small. Like I can literally fit when I do go to the grocery store, I can fit what I need for the week on a bicycle in bags or whatever. Or when I go to the farmer's market, I get a few things. I don't get a truckload, right? Like that's no way to live. You're not eating fresh, right? Basically, you want to be shopping and harvesting and foraging throughout the year, not just like once a month.
Absolutely. That's a really funny question. And or just but I do feel like, you know, don't let the perfect get in the way of the good. Because I think it can seem pretty lofty to like eat in season and have everything be local.
Yeah.
I would really encourage, you know, starting small is just making like, you know, one commitment to going to the farmer's market. Maybe you're gonna try to, you know, use a local or seasonal item once a week in your cooking. You know, once every few weeks, once a month. Everything is a positive win in the greater balance. So, and it's just, I think it's a really fun way. Oftentimes I can feel a little stuck with like my cooking or like my recipes. And so just kind of getting excited and to cook with new ingredients. That's kind of what eating seasonally is. And so wanted to kind of do a quick plug for some things to be looking for.
Perfect.
Maybe it'll be at the farmer's market, maybe in your CSA, maybe it's something you're going to grow in your garden or potentially forage. So I had mentioned mushrooms. That's something to look for at the farmer's market, but also potentially to forage for one of my favorites for April, because it's coming up before we know it, is asparagus. I don't know. Are you a big fan?
I love asparagus. I don't love how it makes my pee smell, but I don't know what that's about, but it's delicious.
I really enjoy it. I feel like it's definitely like springtime.
And a good perennial crop too. You just leave it in the ground. If you harvest it sustainably, you're leaving some of those plants to grow up, to make their frondy leaves, to capture that solar energy, to put back into the roots, to make the next year's crop. I love the model of asparagus. So that's one of the reasons we include an asparagus bed in our campus garden at UofL, because it's such a great teaching tool, right?
Absolutely. And so if you're looking for perennials for your garden, an asparagus patch can stay productive for over 10 years.
Amazing.
So keep it in mind. It's something that can come back year after year for several years. So that's a really great gardening tip as well. And then something that's kind of fun that people might not have heard about is garlic scapes. So that was another kind of spring item. I get really excited about garlic scapes. That's the flower of the garlic plant. And farmers need to pull that flower off in the springtime because they want the garlic plant to put more energy into the roots and to get a bigger garlic bulb, because that's the part that they're going to be harvesting, that you're going to be buying in the grocery store, is that bulb. And so they have to take that flower off, but it's delicious.
It's
so garlicky. It has a really nice garlic flavor. I'd say it's like on the milder side, but you can chop it up like green onions. You can use it in any of your cooking. So I would encourage you to check that out. There's often available at the farmer's market. Your community garden might have a garlic patch and like need you to assist with taking off those flowers. And that's something you can use in your pestos. You could potentially pickle.
Ooh, now you're talking.
Yeah. I love pickling everything. I love pickled radishes. So if you weren't a radish fan when I talked about the gardening tip and you're like, I hate radishes, I'm not going to grow those. I really do like pickled radishes and I encourage you to try that out as another way to have them. I mentioned strawberries just because they're lovely. Everyone is I always can taste the difference when I'm able to get the strawberries. They always just taste so much better. And then kind of a fun one, that's eggs are, you know, pretty widely available in the spring when there's more daylight, chickens are laying more eggs. And so there's a good abundance of them around.
Yeah.
So just kind of keep that on your radar. They might be more available. That's an item that tends to sell out pretty quickly at the farmer's market. But in the springtime, you're going to have a better chance at getting those eggs.
And you might have a friend who has chickens. I just hours before we talked, a colleague was telling me he's got several chickens and gets a dozen eggs a day. And So you might have a friend who wants to get rid of some eggs, and they might be local and delicious and strange looking, like you've never seen before. That hens come in all kinds, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I would say if you have friends with some backyard chickens, they might have a little bit more of an abundance of eggs this time of year. As the daylight increases, chickens will typically
put some garlic scapes in that omelet.
I know, right? It's definitely like a focus on breakfast. So those are just a few things.
I love it.
You know, spring greens. So there's always a flush of greens. So, you know, I get so excited about kale and collard greens and mustard greens and all different things, but in salad mix. So can't highlight that enough.
Yeah,
but
totally. Well, I'm so sorry we are out of time because A, I'm starving, but also this has been great. We're going to have to pull this wheelbarrow into the shed. Katie Harvey, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. She is CSA Marketing and Outreach Program Manager for the Organic Association of Kentucky, which I encourage all of our listeners to check out the resources. You can even join, right? Consumers can join.
Yep, you can become a member. So please check out our website, check out all of the different farmer programming we have, as well as some of our community resources and community programs. And when you become a member, you're going to be helping advance organic farming in Kentucky.
Do it, folks. Thanks so much, Katie, for taking the time today and for all the good work you do. It's such a pleasure talking.
Thank you, Justin.
Stay tuned, everybody. Coming up in just a sec, I got your community action calendar, a whole bunch of ideas about how you can get engaged right here in Louisville this week in sustainability. So stay tuned, my friend. And we are back here on Sustainability Now with me, Justin Mogg. I hope you've got your pencils sharpened, your calendars out. You're ready to take action for sustainability this week. So much going on in our community for you to get involved in. First of all, Tuesday, March 19th, huge day for sustainability in Louisville. Plenty of options for your evening, starting at 3 p.m., going through 7 p.m. It's the next Zoning Matters Conversation with the City Planner. This one taking place at the Crescent Hill branch of the Louisville Free Public Library. These conversations are part of the ongoing land development code reform, relooking at our zoning in our city, which is such an important definer of what makes our city so unsustainable is the horrible zoning of the past. So the land development code reform is an equity-focused approach to revise the land development code consistent with Plan 2040 to allow for increased housing choices and opportunities in new and existing neighborhoods, to create procedures and regulations that are easier to use, and to increase the quality of life by reducing the concentration of environmental hazards near housing. So if you care about dense development, about housing equity, affordable housing, environmental justice, you need to get involved in the land development code reform process. And we encourage you to come on out and speak with a city planner about it this Tuesday, March 19th, 3 to 7 p.m. at the Crescent Hill Library. And there are many more dates to come throughout September at other libraries around the city. But you can learn more at louisvilleky.gov/LDC reform. Also, Tuesday the 19th at 4 p.m., right after you go to the Crescent Hill Library at 3, you can join us online. U of L invites you to their next sustainability roundtable, this one focused on the Solar Over Louisville program. It's part of a series of roundtables we offer on alternate Tuesdays at 4 p.m. online, open to everybody. We continue the series on March 19th with Professor David Johnson from U of L's Health Management and its Systems Science Department, speaking on community participation, experience, and perceptions of the Solar Over Louisville Solarize program from 2022 to 23. David Johnson is a wonderful human being doing really important work in our community. I hope you'll join us online to meet him at 4 p.m. on Tuesday. No registration is necessary. You can get more information about it and the link to join the online meeting at louisville.edu/sustainability. Now, a little later on Tuesday at 5:30, you have a couple options. First, there's going to be a public meeting about remaking Main Street. It's called Main Remade. It's happening from 5:30 to 7:30 at Louisville Slugger Field, 401 East Main Street. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will be holding a public meeting to update residents on planned improvements for phase one of the Main Remade project. project in Jefferson County. The project's designed to improve safety and accessibility along one of downtown Louisville's key business, residential, and tourism corridors, Main Street. Phase one will convert Main Street from the current one-way street of death into a two-way street between Wenzel and 2nd Street. Other planned improvements include upgrades to crosswalks and intersections, a protected bike lane, dedicated left turn lanes, and new traffic signals. Improvements will occur in three phases, with construction on phase one expected to begin as soon as later this year. Tuesday's public meeting will be conducted in an open house format in which attendees may view project maps and review information about planned improvements. Representatives from the Transportation Cabinet and the design consultant will be in attendance to answer any question, and attendees will have an opportunity to make public comments and provide feedback directly to the project team. Those unable to attend may also review the information online at mainremade.com, and comments may be emailed to info@mainremade.com by April 16th. So go to mainremade.com for more information. We hope to see you at Sluggerfield on Tuesday, 5:30 to 7:30 for this important open house and public meeting about making Main Street sane again. Also Tuesday, 5:30 to 7 online, the West Jefferson County Community Task Force will be holding their virtual community meeting. This month, we'll hear from two experts from U of L's Environ Institute. Research manager, another wonderful person, a good colleague of mine, Lauren Anderson, will kick things off, telling us about how the Center for Healthy Air, Water, and Soil is hosting Kentuckiana MAPS, Meeting for Advancing Participatory Sciences, Integrating Health, Environment, and Community Resilience. And that's taking place on April 18th to explore the interactions between climate change, health, outdoor recreation, and community resilience, and to address shared challenges through a whole-body approach to promote a new vision of health. Then, Dr. Tim O'Toole, U of L professor of medicine, will discuss a human interventional trial with carnosine, which is consumed by eating meat, and the relationship to air pollution protection. An overview of the clinical trial study and the general problem of particulate matter exposure, why the study is being done, and the value of the information will all be provided. This is really interesting and important stuff that we need to know about health and the environment in our city. So we encourage you to join the West Jefferson County Community Task Force for their virtual meeting on Tuesday the 19th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. online. You can find the link to join Tuesday's meeting at facebook.com/WJCCTF. Finally, a little later in the evening at 7 p.m., maybe you could do these two things in a row, you can join the Greater Louisville Sierra Club, one of Ford Radio's proud community partners, for their March program called What's Up with Food Justice and Urban Agriculture in Louisville. It's Tuesday at 7 p.m., either online or in person at United Crescent Hill Ministries, 150 South State Street. And we will be hearing from prominent local food activists and learn what each of us can do to support this important work. Join Vaughn Barnes, former guest of this program, Tay G, and Andrew Kang Bartlett, also former guest of this program, from the Food in Neighborhoods Community Coalition, which hosts Ford Radio's proud community partner, the Urban Ag Coalition, to get the scoop on current developments as Louisville expands urban food production and develops a Food Vision 2030. And a Greater Louisville Food Council. Find out how you can support this movement towards a more delicious, equitable, healthy, sustainable, and resilient Louisville. Who are you going to hear from? Well, Tay G is a cultural worker, educator, and activist, founder of Louisvolve Hip Hop and Arts Festival, and is on the board of Change Today, Change Tomorrow, and the Food and Neighborhood Steering Committee, along with Vaughn and Andrew. Now, Vaughn Barnes is the visionary behind Kentuckiana Backyard Farms, a micro-urban demonstration farm in Louisville. With a Bachelor of Arts in Communication from the University of South Florida, Vaughn has actively immersed himself in the realms of urban agriculture and food justice since 2013. And Andrew Kang Bartlett has degrees from Friends World College and San Francisco State University, and has studied and worked in the Dominican Republic, Cuba, Mexico, Central America, and East Asia. Andrew is the National Associate for the Presbyterian Church USA Hunger Program. So wonderful human beings. You want to meet them all this Tuesday, March 19th, 7 to 8:30 p.m., again, online or at United Crescent Hill Ministries. And the Sierra Club programs are always free and open to the public. You can learn more and register at sierraclub.org/Kentucky. That's it for Tuesday. Now, Wednesday, March 20th, Trees Louisville is seeking volunteers to help plant trees at King Elementary School from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. In fact, you'll be helping teach a group of about 5 to 10 students about how to plant a tree and why trees are important. If that sounds fun to you, email Morgan at treeslouisville.org to register to volunteer on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at King Elementary. Also on Wednesday at noon on March 20th, the University of Louisville will be hosting a panel discussion on Louisville's climate, navigating local dynamics and impacts. And the public is warmly welcome to join us at our brand new LEED Gold Belknap Academic Building, room 218. There'll be light refreshments. It's free and open to the public. Join us for an exciting panel conversation on climate change and its impacts on our community. Panelists will be discussing the role and initiatives of local government in addressing climate issues, the consequences of extreme weather patterns, the character of environmental benefits of green spaces, and lastly, the impact of U of L on local climate. The panel seeks to contribute to our understanding of the nuanced interconnections between weather, climate, and the workings of our communities. A great panel is lined up, including former guest of this program, Sumedha Rao, Executive Director of the Mayor's Office of Sustainability, Dr. Jason Naylor from the Department of Geographic and Environmental Sciences at U of L, along with his fellow colleague, Dr. Scott Gunter, and former station manager of Forward Radio, Robin Frederick, who is now a master's in sustainability student at the Department of Urban and Public Affairs, and my own carbon accounting intern, and also an intern for the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. She is in it. Of course, we know Robin. She's awesome. She'll be part of this panel from noon to 1:30 on Wednesday, the 20th, in the Belknap Academic Building on U of L's main campus, room 218. Come on down. More information is at louisville.edu/sustainability. In the evening on Wednesday, March 20th at 6 p.m., the Louisville Sustainability Council will be hosting its next Green Drinks featuring, hey, Sierra Club chapter, Kentucky's Sierra Club chapter, and it's going to be at Mama's Mustard Pickles and Barbecue. That's at 102 Bauer Avenue in St. Matthews. Green Drinks, of course, is a casual meetup of community members and organizations, and each month, different speakers from across the city are educating and informing the community on their sustainable businesses, projects, and initiatives. Presentations are all followed by Q&A, discussion, and networking, so please join us to meet and network with other folks in the Green Drinks movement at Mama's Barbecue, which makes award-winning barbecue and offers a variety of vegetarian side dishes. Come on out this Wednesday at 6 p.m. It's free. Also on Wednesday at 7 p.m. online, the Building Community Not Prisons Coalition is working to stop the construction of FCI Letcher in eastern Kentucky. Since we last stood against the fast-tracking of this prison, we've successfully forced the Federal Bureau of Prisons to release a draft environmental impact statement for the proposed prison, which was published on March 1st. This opens up a 45-day window in which we can mobilize public comment against the prison and the draft EIS, giving us a massive opportunity to delay the project further. When organizers mobilized public comment against the original EIS in 2015, they delayed the prison by over 4 years before ultimately stopping it in 2019. Well, here's how you can help us stop this prison again. Join us Wednesday at 7 p.m. online for a Building Community Not Prisons teach-in. If you want to learn more about the environmental implications of prisons and how they harm local ecosystems, communities, and the people incarcerated in them, then come on out. And if you want to get into the nitty-gritty of how to intervene in the draft EIS, you're going to learn it at the teach-in on Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can learn more and register at bit.ly/no-toxic-prison-teach-in. bit.ly/no-toxic-prison-teach-in. Then on Saturday, March 23rd at 1 p.m. online, there's going to be a virtual letter writing party. You can join the coalition for a virtual letter writing party Saturday at 1 p.m. Together, we'll be writing public comments against the draft EIS released by the Federal Bureau of Prisons for the most expensive proposed federal prison in U.S. history, FCI Letcher, over in Letcher County. Learn more and register for the letter writing party at bit.ly again, bit.ly/bcnp-eis-letter-writing-party, bit.ly/bcnp-eis-letter-writing-party. Comments on the EIS are now accepted until April 15th. You can learn more about it at buildingcommunitynotprisons.com. Now on Thursday, March 21st at Hotel Louisville, the Third Thursday Lunch is back with Legacy Across Generations and Braden's Spiritual Granddaughters with Dr. Kate Fossil. It's at Hotel Louisville, 120 West Broadway, and there's a buffet lunch at 11:30, and the presentation is at noon. Lunch is $8. Presentation's free. Ford Radio's proud community partners, Fellowship of Reconciliation, and the Swords of Justice Network invite you to come celebrate Women's History Month with Dr. Kate Fossil, author of Subversive Southerner, Ann Braden, and the Struggle for Racial Justice in the Cold War South. She's also founding director in 2006, of the Ann Braden Institute for Social Justice Research at U of L. Dr. Fossil counts herself among Ann Braden's spiritual descendants and will be speaking about the rippling effects of Ann's mentorship. Don't miss it. You can learn more at LouisvilleFOR.org. Also on Thursday the 21st, 3 to 6 p.m., you can volunteer to help Louisville Grows in their greenhouse at 1639 Portland Avenue. Help us prepare for the spring seeds and start sales. Volunteers will be helping pot up plants, plant seeds, mix soil, water, and performing other maintenance tasks in the greenhouse. No experience is required. Gloves are provided. And it's all for a good cause, as proceeds from the seeds and start sale all go towards funding community garden and orchard grants and the urban agriculture programs of Louisville Grows. If you want to volunteer, you'll be receiving a discount at the seeds and start sales. You can learn more about it at louisvillegrows.org. Just coming out to the greenhouse this Thursday the 21st, 3 to 6 p.m. on Portland Avenue. Also, Thursday the 21st at 7 p.m. online, it's the next Beyond Plastics Louisville meeting. They typically meet on last Thursdays of the month, but they're moving it up a week this month, and you can join them to get started with the Plastic Score app and to hear about their screening of the film Blue Vinyl and help them plan for Earth Day, whose theme this year is Planet versus Plastic. Their mission is to make everyone know that we cannot recycle our way out of the plastic problem. Beyond Plastics is seeking truly sustainable solutions to this crisis, and you can learn more and find the link to register for the online meeting, facebook.com/groups/beyondplastics, LOUKY. Now on Friday, March 22nd, the University of Louisville Garden Commons next to the Baptist Center invites you to a weather and gardening workshop. The U of L student chapter of American Meteorological Society and the Garden Commons invite you to come learn about how to make our garden more resilient in the face of climate chaos. We'll discuss our changing climate and the El Nino effect, how the USDA hardiness zones that guide our planting have already changed, what grows as the climate gets worse, and the impacts on precipitation and what we can grow. We'll be installing a rain gauge at the Garden Commons to begin gathering data to help inform our own watering plans in the future. It's all part of a spring series of garden workshops hosted by U of L's Garden Commons, a shared, collectively managed space open to the public, and everyone who comes is welcome to a share in the harvest. You can learn more at louisville.edu/sustainability. Now, on Friday the 22nd, from 5 to 7 p.m., it's Understanding the Intersections, Climate Change and Military Occupation in Palestine. Join us this Friday for this presentation and group discussion to deepen our understanding on the acceleration of climate change in Palestine, with environmental degradation as an intentional tactic being used for displacement. A liberated Palestine is a roadmap to liberation for us all, as our freedom is bound together. Ian Mooney from the Kentucky Student Environmental Coalition and Veterans for Peace, and Kareem Hassan from Lex for Palestine will start the event off with a presentation on militarism and the environment, followed by group discussion. This event will be hosted in person and over Zoom, and come with questions. It's an open space for all of us to learn and grow. Find the link to register for the Friday 5 p.m. Zoom at instagram.com/LEX4Palestine. instagram.com/Lex4Palestine. Now on Saturday, the 23rd, it's a Mill Creek cleanup hosted by the Metropolitan Sewer District from 9 a.m. to noon. Join us at one of several sites across the Mill Creek watershed in southwestern Jefferson County. It's an opportunity to make a big impact and remove hundreds of pounds of trash in a single day. You can meet up at one of three locations at 9 a.m. Waterson Lake Park at 1714 South Wheatmore Drive, Sylvania Park at 6650 Sylvania Road, or Sun Valley Park at 6616 Ashby Lane. And a free t-shirt will be provided for everyone. There'll be gloves and trash bags provided as well. You can register at bit.ly/MILLCK. bit.ly/MILLCK. And finally, on Saturday the 23rd and Sunday the 24th from 2 to 4 p.m., there'll be spring foraging workshops at Lots of Food, 1647 Portland Avenue. February and March are the magical months for spring foraging, and your next salad might be right there in your backyard. Do you want in? Well, learn to identify more than a dozen easy-to-find wild greens, flowers, roots, and fruits. Sample a delicious forage salad made right from plants you can find in your own neighborhood. This workshop is for people ages 14 and up. Please dress for the weather. We'll be outside, and if it's a light sprinkle, we'll still do the workshop. There is a fee, but complimentary tickets are available for neighbors in Louisville's food apartheid zones. So you can get all the details and registration at LouisvilleLotsOfFood.com. It's Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. You can pick either one and enjoy spring foraging workshops at Lots of Food on Portland Avenue. That is all the time we have for today here on Sustainability Now. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and taking action, and I'll be back in your ears again in 1 week's time, my friends. Be well. Fly free.